Something else I've noticed here that's sovereign. I don't understand it. Don't ask me why. But you'll notice that Paul performed, well, two miracles we've seen now. The miracle of life preservation of the viper and the other miracle of diseases. But there was no tongues, no gift of tongue speaking. Even though this was what they call a barbarous people, a people that were not savages, they were unable to communicate because they didn't know the main languages of the day, Roman, Greek, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and those languages that Paul would have known.
And welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and we're continuing with the Apostle Paul on the island of Melita, and he is dealing with a barbarous people. He has already survived a bite of a serpent. He has been healing the diseases in the island. But what about tongues? Why did he not speak in tongues? That is the issue of today, and I trust you'll stay tuned with us here as we let the Bible speak. Our verse for today is Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Time and wisdom need to go together. It takes wisdom to make good use of our time, and it takes time to put our wisdom into practice. What you do with your time will tell you what kind of person you are. What you do with your free time will tell you what kind of Christian you are. If you spend your time in the world, dabbling in the things of pleasure, in the things that are vanity, well, you can hardly be a consecrated person living for God. We are to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. In other words, our example should be exemplary. We should be living a good witness, taking every opportunity, buying the time. That's what redeeming means, to be buying the time, buying up those opportunities, grasping those opportunities to witness to men the glorious revelation of the gospel by our daily walk. Walk in wisdom. And this is practical. This is not just sitting in the armchair of theoretical Christianity. This is to live it out in a wise, godly, and using every opportunity to speak for the Lord. Let's do that today and pray for God's power to do it. Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art the author of wisdom, and thou hast given us the light of thy word, and thy word is wisdom. And we pray that all of it will come together in our practical walk, even before the ungodly, and that today we will snap up those opportunities to speak to others, to live before others, the good news of the gospel. Give us power, give us the Holy Spirit, that we might be living witnesses for thee. Now bless thy word and speak through this gospel program, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to our message today. I trust you'll be blessed as we continue in Acts 27 with Paul on the island of Melita.
Now a third thing about apostolic gifts here is that he, Paul, experienced the sovereign use of apostolic gifts. Just think about how he came to this island. It was not Paul's idea. Certainly wasn't the sailor's idea. And it wasn't the captain's idea, the Roman captain that was on ship. It was the storm, this Euroclydon, this hurricane that hit, those deceptive winds that firstly brought them off Crete, and they sailed out into the Mediterranean, and then somewhere from North Africa, this storm blasted them and drove them right into the island of Melita. They didn't even know where they were. They were so much tossed around in the seas of the Mediterranean, they couldn't know where they were. They were lost. But in God's storm was God's sovereign plan. God had a work for Paul on this island. God had a work for him amongst that people in the few months that he spent right there. There's always a purpose in God's storms. And what we call a senseless storm, behind it is the purpose of God. You visit the island of Malta today, and there is a place called Paul's Bay. Much of the evidence that I've been able to look at certainly points, as a proper tradition, the very place where this ship hit the coast, was wrecked right there, where Paul and all the others came unto land. The sovereignty of God at work. And to this day, that's the event that brought Christianity to Malta. And it's still there. The testimony is still there. And the sovereignty of God reaches through all the trials and all the storms of our lives. We've been learning in our Sunday school, in our Westminster Confession study, that the decrees of God, they affect all things after the counsel of God's own will. That's Ephesians 1:11. Add to that Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. And so there is God's sovereign work, bringing this ship. It was broken in pieces. Every life was preserved. Paul was there, introduced to these people. God's sovereign plan. Something else I've noticed here that's sovereign. I don't understand it. Don't ask me why. But you'll notice that Paul performed, well, two miracles we've seen now. The miracle of life preservation of the viper and the other miracle of diseases. But there was no tongues, no gift of tongue speaking. Even though this was what they call a barbarous people, a people that were not savages, they were unable to communicate because they didn't know the main languages of the day, Roman, Greek, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and those languages that Paul would have known. But you'll notice that Paul did not exercise on this island a replicate of Pentecostal tongues of Acts 2, where every man spoke to the people he was witnessing in their own tongue. Paul did not do that. Paul did not preach the gospel to these people in their barbarous language. There's no record of it at all. No expression of that gift. And yet we're told in 1 Corinthians that Paul spoke in tongues more than others. 1 Corinthians 14:18. That he spoke in tongues more than them all. But of course, I believe that when he said that in 1 Corinthians 14, he was talking about ordinary languages. Paul knew many real languages. He knew Hebrew. He knew Greek. He knew Aramaic. He knew Latin. He could converse in the main languages of his day. But I don't think he knew this language. But Paul did not speak in the same kind of gift as was given in Acts 2. That was not exercised. Why not? I don't know. But it proves me this, that the statement of Pentecostalism, that the proof and the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is to speak with tongues. If Pentecostalism is consistent, they would insist that Paul would have spoken to these people with the gift of tongues, and he would have communicated to them in their language, as they did in Acts 2. And so I say that the claim that the evidence of the infilling of the Spirit is to speak with tongues does not carry through. Not in this passage, and not in any other passage. That is a wrong, spurious claim. God gives his gifts sovereignly in various ways at times according to his will. It pleased God to give the gift of healing for mercy to these people. I don't know why he did not give the gift of speaking in tongues. It would have seemed the very thing required that for those few months that he was there that he might communicate the gospel to them. But it was not given.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church, and this is Ian Gallagher, and I pray that today the Lord will continue to speak on this subject, this very important subject of apostolic gifts, the use of tongues, our tongues for today. I hope this message will settle the question for you. Also regarding faith healing, should you go to the doctor, should a Christian use medicine? All of these issues we'll deal with in the next few minutes to come. Please listen in as we let the Bible speak.
The challenge, of course, in all of these things, when it comes to gifts and healing and speaking in tongues and all that, is to be consistent. And this is the problem when you get into the arena of the charismatics and the Pentecostalists, that they fail to be consistent. The challenge to faith healers in all ages is to be consistent with apostolic gifts. If you claim to have one gift, then you must claim to have all. If you claim to have the gift which Paul had, life preservation, to drink poison and nothing not harm you, can people do that today? Or what else is claimed in Acts in Mark 16:18, that you shall drink poison, not be harmed, pray over the sick and they shall be healed, raise the dead is also included. But where in the world today is there anyone that claims the gift of raising the dead? Now, when we say that these gifts died with the apostles, and we call them apostolic gifts for that very reason, that they were given to the apostles, when the apostles died, those gifts died with them. The second generation did not receive them. Titus, Timothy, the younger men who knew Paul, who worked with Paul, they never exercised any of these gifts. They died with the apostles. It is alleged then that the church who says those miraculous gifts were for that apostolic period in the first century, but they are not for today, that we're guilty of little faith, that we are guilty of having little power in prayer. Well, the church is called to pray, and to pray for the sick. In James 5, the elders of the church are to be sent for. They're to pray over the sick in the name of the Lord. But we believe that God uses means today. Just as in farming, the farmer that grows his crops, he uses means to grow a crop. The fisherman, he just doesn't sit along the bank of the river or the ocean and pray for fish to come. The businessman, he doesn't just sit at his nice desk from Monday to Friday and trust that business will roll in. No, he's got to make those contacts. He's got to do business in a business-like fashion. Why not also in healing and medicine? And we believe that in a healing ministry, God superintends and he hears the cries of his people. He can use the surgeon. He can use medicine. As someone put it, God is the operator. The surgeon is the co-operator. But it is argued that once you start using means in medical health issues, it's no longer faith. If it's faith healing, then it has to be without any means whatsoever, if it's going to be God glorifying. Well, think on this. Can the farmer, who all year has been growing his crops, he has plowed his land, sown the seeds, fertilized, watered, tended the crop, in the harvest he's gotten out his machinery, and he's harvested and filled his barns, can he go to the house of God as a Christian farmer, take his seat, and praise his God for the gifts of bounty of the land? Of course he can. It's God that created the soil. It's God that gave the sunshine. It's God that gave the water. It's God that gave the strength. It's God that gave the opportunity to labor and to harvest. He can sit in his seat in his church pew and praise God for his blessings. Likewise, the patient who has gone through ill health didn't just sit at home in his favorite chair hoping to get better. He went and used medicine that comes from the plants or the minerals of the ground that God created. He takes the wisdom and the expertise of others that God gave. He takes the advice and the means and methods of recuperation and good health that are well tried over the years. Only a fool would sit aside and not use those means. And can that patient, after health is restored, not come to the house of God and sit in his pew and praise his God for giving him health? even though he has used a doctor and used medicine and used exercises and advice and different counsel from here and there, certainly he can. Is his faith any less than the farmer's faith? Is his trust in God any less just because he has used means to seek healing? The Christian farmer doesn't just pray. The Christian fisherman doesn't just pray. The Christian businessman doesn't just pray. And the Christian patient who is ill, who seeks God's healing, doesn't just pray, uses the means that God is pleased to use. And still God is sovereign. Still God is the one who is pleased to bless the means. Because as we pray, Lord, may it please you to heal, but thy will be done. And it pleases God to heal. And sometimes it pleases God not to heal. God is still sovereign in the work. And remember, too, that it was Christian ministries and Christian missionaries who took medicine to the peoples of the world who never knew what hospitals were, never knew what medicine was. I was listening to a set of tapes of Eric Liddell. It's actually a life story, a condensed life story on tape. And as I drive around, I just listen to this story of Eric Liddell. He's the man, of course, who ran the Olympic race in Paris 1924, but refused to run on Sunday, the Lord's Day. He was a Scottish Christian who reverenced the Lord's Day, but he ran on another day of the week and won many races. He went as a missionary to China, he and his brother Robbie. Eric was a teacher. Robbie was a medical man. But they used and introduced medical help to the poor, needy people in the plains of China as Christian missionaries. Note, too, that it is only in this last 150 years that this faith healing phenomenon has brought confusion to Christians, saying we must do it by faith alone without means. In the Church of England, a man called Irvine, and it became a whole new thing called the Irvinite gifts, brought absolute confusion to the Christian church. Taken up by many others, became cults, actually. And there are those in various parts of Britain and Europe today who are cults who came out of the Irvinite movement. Another man who is actually the founder of the Missionary and Alliance Church in North America, a man called A.J. Gordon, a man who promoted faith healing very strongly, very persuasively. He was a lawyer, arguer, who could persuade men of his case. But it was Dr. B.B. Warfield who defended the Christian church of that day against the whole pseudo-counterfeit miracle agenda. And it's these things that have brought awful confusion to Christians and a guilt to those who would use medical means as they pray for healing. I say all these things tonight because this is the last incident that we find in the life of Paul, what we know of, that he uses apostolic gifts in this very tangible fashion. And I think that it is timely that we put some of these things in perspective. Paul saw the fulfillment of the apostolic promises. Paul was very humble in the use of the apostolic gifts. God was sovereign in the way those gifts were used, in taking Paul to the island, in the healing work that was performed. And then, as you know, later there was a time when it was Timothy who was ill. Paul didn't just send him a letter and say, "You're going to be healed." He told him to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Wine, to this day, is known to be of medicinal help in certain cases. It can be a healing process for a hemorrhaging, abscessed stomach. Paul advised him to do so. There's the use of means. And so the Lord guides us in these ways. And I pray that the Lord will give us grace. And the faith. We don't use one without the other. We are to pray, and pray as a church. Pray with faith that God in mercy can heal and be glorified.
I sincerely hope that you have been blessed on the program today as we have Let the Bible Speak on the subject of gifts and tongue speaking, also concerning Christianity and faith healing. We believe that God answers prayer, and we believe that the church should gather together when a Christian is in sickness, and we believe in the power of prayer to call upon the Lord. And we have seen in our church many who have been answered through the power of prayer, who've been healed through the power of prayer. And yet we do not insist that God must heal by some man bestowed miraculous gift. God is sovereign, and he answers by the faith and the prayers of his people in his church. I trust you've been blessed today, and I trust you've been encouraged. If you'd like a copy of this program, feel free to be in touch. All the announcements and details are coming up. Stay tuned for the details.
Thank you for being a part of our program today, and I trust that you have been blessed and encouraged.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.